Hello, you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name's Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
And today's episode is a discussional podcast, so we talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you, because it's important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So that was the last couple of weeks, and actually been like 4 weeks since our last podcast discussion.
Been an interesting few weeks. An end of one season, a start of a new season, and now we got too many shows.
Too many shows, yes. It's like I take a break, like 1 week break, just so I can start actually reading through Mushoku Tensei, the novel series, which, by the way, I'll be releasing my first, I have my first two videos recorded already, so look forward to those on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/otakuspirit. That'll be a lot of fun. It took me like an entire recording of like 30 minutes just to cover the first two chapters, so that gives you an idea of how much I'm kind of diving into the actual novels, which has been a lot of fun. So if you've watched the anime and you want to know like what's in the novel that's different or more emphasized, or possibly what's in the anime that's not in the novel series, that's been a lot of fun. So definitely take a look at that if you have some time. But I took like a week off just to focus on that, and then suddenly people are talking about shows and I'm like, crap, now I gotta get caught up, and I'm already feeling like I'm way behind on everything just from 1 week. Now, granted, I didn't get, like, fully caught up on all the shows before we did the first impressions, but even then, we did 2 weeks of first impressions, so it had another week there for the first set of shows, so.
Well, just me trying to add the streaming into my schedule is, especially since the days that I'm choosing to kind of try and take the edge off is the days that the shows that I like to watch mm-hmm. are kind of dropping, so I feel exaggeratedly behind on the next day and the next day after that. So, yeah.
Every show, or every day has a show that's going to be great. That's
well,
the problem.
I mean, Friday and Saturday in particular. those 2 days.
Saturday's big.
Yeah. Friday's got a few shows that I like to watch. And so, it like I said, it feels like everything's compounded because I want to watch all those shows all at one time. And it makes me feel extra behind, even though I'm really not. I'm only 1 day behind.
Yeah. And that's the problem, because, like, I mean, especially like this last week, it was Yo Boy Kong Ming. Suddenly everybody's like, did you watch the recent episode of Yo Boy Kong Ming? And I'm like, no. Is it that great? It was like last week was the week of rapping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had Kaguya-sama, Love is War, Yo Boy Kong Ming. I'm sure something else had a rapping in it somewhere. It must be like National Rapping Week in Japan, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It is all kind of lined up. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. It's been a lot of really fantastic shows this season. Even the shows that are, like, I think didn't think was going to be that great, like Trapped in a Dating Sim. It's like, why is this so good? Why is this so good?
And the sad thing is that I think that actually says a lot for the actual source material, because a lot of people are saying that they're not all that great at adapting it. And it's like, I don't know. I'm really enjoying this show. So that either the source material is just that fantastic, or it's just it's really, I don't know why I like it as much as I do, but I do. I really enjoy myself watching that show.
Like I said before, I think it's a lot to do with the fact that you have a main character that is willing to do the things that you're kind of agree with. Like, when he does something really stupid, you're like, you know what? Yeah. Why not? And like, this whole place is the recent point was like, because all the girls in the school are crazy, because this is like some like over the top matriarchy where all the women are just jerks. And then you have this one queen who's actually nice. It's like, yeah, heck yeah, I would probably propose to her too, because it's like, you don't have many options. And his whole mindset is that I can't get with the main girls because he, for some reason, still thinks this is going to go based on the Otome game. So his only option is like, what? The queen's right there. Might as well go after the queen.
There you go.
And it works. Like I said, it's absurd. And he does really stupid things, but it's like, you kind of agree with it. Like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. It's bonkers that way. But yeah, besides that entire episode of him beating all the other, hero characters, main love interest characters, and the first episode, like, the rest of it's been, like, really solid, so it's surprising. There's still some other ones that are kind of still meh, like the healer, Don't Hurt Me, My Healer, still not really working for me, unfortunately, but
The witch episode didn't work, or did you watch that yet?
Yeah, it was like meh.
I thought it was kind of funny.
They get too stuck on things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it didn't save the show by any means, but it was more amusing than most of the episodes of that show, so.
That's saying a lot. Saying a lot. But anyways, we're not doing first impressions again. We had 2 weeks of first impressions. We should really get into the news. I do want to get through the news pretty decently quick because we're getting behind on questions. Ever since the Discord question option had become available, everybody's kind of just pouring questions in, which is good. We love it. Keep them coming. But the news that should be important to you because it's important to us, that's important to us. For first bit of news, we have G-Kids and Shout Factory have plans to release Pompo, the Cinephile anime film on Blu-ray and DVD on July 12th and digitally on June 28th. And this is a series that we've been kind of excited for ever since I think we talked about it first getting a film. Unfortunately, we're not able to get to it in theaters when it came over here, but according to some people that actually went and watched it in theaters, it sounds like it's really good and they really want us to review it. So that's always a positive thing. But yeah, I'm definitely excited for this one. I will have to say, can we stop this Shout Factory and G-Kids? Can we stop the whole, you know, releasing things beforehand and then releasing again later in a different format? I know that they did it for a couple other titles. I think it was A Silent Voice and something else. But like, that whole idea of releasing it on standard and then releasing it limited edition later on so that people double dip, you know, that's why they're doing it this way with the digital and then Blu-ray right after. It's just, it's kind of annoying. I want to say that just release at the same time, just digitally and Blu-ray on July 12th. But we know they're not going to do that because they're obviously double dipping.
Yeah, the standard and the limited edition thing that's supposed to be if you're more strapped for cash, you go with the standard edition. If you want to go all out because you're a mega fan of this show, you get the limited special edition. But you know how they are. They want to get every bit of money they can out of us.
And it ends up turning into the whole thing of doing the standard edition and then the people that aren't strapped for cash buy it again. That's what they're going for, is people that have that in the income. It's a little bit different in my opinion with the digitally thing, but again, it's one of the aspects of everybody's watching on June 28th, and then makes you want to jump onto it.
I don't necessarily have a problem with if you want to watch it early, you want to watch a quote unquote theatrical release version of it and pay ahead of time for the digital. I don't really see so much a problem with that. Until you can get but I don't like if you're going to pay for the digital release version and you only have it for like 3 days and then you have to buy it later. That I don't much care for. I mean, even a premium price for the quote unquote theatrical version that you have access to whenever you want, I'm okay. With per se. I have a little bit, the premium pricing is a little bit much, but
I would say the digital or the actual limited editions that they were doing, I don't think were too bad. They were pretty decent price. I mean, they weren't something like Aniplex or anything like that, but I don't know. I guess it depends on the digital pricing. I'm going to assume the digital pricing is probably 20 or something bucks, but we'll see. But either way, I mean, aside from that whole controversy, I'm fine with it. I'm looking forward to Pompo the Cinephile. It looks great. The characters look fantastic. The concept itself sounds really fun. So we'll see. We'll see what it turns into.
Well, out of curiosity, how do you feel about that? The idea of I get what you're saying. I mean, even I'm saying the same thing. A standard release and then later on a premium release is to me kind of just like you're saying, double dipping. But a digital release of like let's say Heaven's Feel 3. I know that the Monogatari, something that everybody wants to watch, but they don't necessarily want to wait for the entire process of them getting the packaging all together, get all the limited edition stuff and all that stuff put together for a premium box set. You want to watch the movie. Them putting out either you can go to the theaters, but if you can't make it to a theater, because like in our situation where we have to go like a 10-hour drive to get to a theater, it would be kind of nice to have access to it on on the website. So,
right, and that's different than digitally owning a copy. I guess that for people listening, that let me make a distinction here. I'm fussing over the it's available for digital ownership on the 28th, where you buy a digital copy that you can watch whenever you want, and then the Blu-ray DVD later. In the idea of a theatrical online, what they call it, there's a name for it. It's basically where you can watch almost kind of like you're in a theater. Made Abyss did that.
Right.
I basically bought a ticket to watch Made in Abyss, and we were able to watch it. And that was great. I love that idea. That was something that was kind of being introduced during the whole issue a couple years ago with the pandemic. But it was this idea that because people couldn't get in theaters, they were allowing people to watch the stuff that was normally theatrically released in your home. And that was really great, because you bought a ticket, basically digital ticket, and you were able to watch the film for a certain amount of time, and then it went poof. This is a little bit different in the idea that you're paying an exorbitant amount more to buy a physical or a digital ownership of the show until the servers go down, because honestly, with most digital ownership, it's only as long as the server has it. But it's a little bit of a different story, in my opinion, I guess, is that aspect. I'm perfectly fine with having do your theatrical releases. You know, do the walk-in theaters, because it makes, you know, some good money. I'm perfectly fine with that. I think it sucks, but, you know, people that have it available to them, it's great. But I think, like, having, like, a month later, having an actual, you know, digital theater ticket type of thing where you can stream it for a set amount of time, and then, yeah, wait and then do your physical releases. I think that's fantastic.
Well, to me, that's no different than doing the cable pay-per-view stuff. And I don't necessarily – I have a bigger problem with the idea of – the 3-day rule or whatever, because Amazon does it. I understand it. It's done. I get that. I have a slim problem with the pricing versus the actual, and I guess it, like I was saying, it's a premium service. So you're buying the premium early access to it. I don't know. I'm very mixed on the 3-day rule.
The 3-day rule? Like, yeah. Where it goes away after a while?
Yeah.
Like I said, as long as the pricing's good, the whole thing with this whole aspect is, and the reason why I was, you know, poo-pooing the idea of selling a digital copy and then selling a physical copy is because, like I said, you're talking with that about a digital ownership, and then you're doing another physical ownership after that. If the pricing's right for just a temporary streaming, I think it's fine. I mean, that was the whole thing with when we were watching Star Wars, was just really kind of getting on Amazon and then being able to. It was always the question of, do we just buy it, or we did the rental sort of thing, which always sucked because sometimes the buying of the digital copy is just about the same as renting it for 24 right. hours. That was kind of dumb. But I think if it's priced right, and granted, let's be honest, typically with the theatrical tickets, depending on where you're at, sometimes can be as much as a Blu-ray. But that's the whole idea of paying early, which I guess is similar to this. You're paying early to get it earlier. But
yeah,
again, that just brings up that whole argument again. It's all in how it prices. It's all in how it prices and the time gap you're getting. You're obviously paying a little extra to get that early access. But I don't know. Just don't make it feel like it feels dirty, I guess, is the big question.
That's
mark.
Really what it comes down to.
Don't make it feel dirty. That's when you're bad. So there's my advice. Simple as that. Put it in a quote, put it on the wall in the break room, and you got it. Don't make it feel dirty. Anyways, Sony Pictures Entertainment has announced that Crunchyroll CEO Colin Decker is leaving the company. Longtime Funimation COO Rahul Purini, which I apologize if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, will become the company's new president. Rahul has been with Funimation since 2015. The statement that he released is, "It is an honor and a privilege for me to take on this new role and to drive the next chapter of Crunchyroll forward. Having spent the last 7 years involved in nearly every facet of the business and seeing how far we've come, the opportunity ahead is bright, and I look forward to what we will do together next. There are so many things that excite me about this new role, but the one part that stands out is our clear opportunity to accelerate the growth, size, love of anime around the world by putting fans and communities first and helping everyone belong.
You're baiting me, aren't you?
I had to say that last part with a lot of it. So yeah, basically, for those that need to get caught up on this whole situation, Sony has basically bought Funimation and later on bought Crunchyroll. And then at some point, they said, they didn't say this, but we're assuming they probably said, you know, look, these two companies are existing. The assumption is that Crunchyroll was doing better, so they decided to take the Funimation brand and just merge it into Crunchyroll and get rid of the Funimation brand, merge everything into Crunchyroll's services and branding. And the funny thing that kind of comes with that is having essentially Colin Decker leaving the company, who was the head of Crunchyroll, and now having, you know, the CEO of the original Funimation now taking control of the head. It brings up a lot of question marks, obviously, but yeah, now Rahul is in control, and I don't know, I'm very mixed. I'm very mixed, and yes, a lot of it has to do with that last few words in that statement that Rahul had released. I honestly do want to pose a question before we get into the obvious question marks that last couple of words can create. My big question mark was, and I think this is the thing that this kind of brought up in my head when I created a whole video discussing this news on the YouTube channel, but definitely want to get your input on this, and I think we've talked about it here and there.
We did.
But the question mark that I really have is to really think about between the two companies, Funimation and Crunchyroll, we keep having this discussion where we keep trying to figure out who is the worst, I guess. It's never like who is the better. It's always like who is less bad and who is the worst. And I think the thing that we always kind of it's really hard to ignore Funimation's flaws and what they've kind of done negatively for the anime community. And at some point, I kind of realized I don't necessarily think it's so much about an ingrained internal issue within Funimation. It's always kind of been
it's a cultural issue.
The voice actors and the writers for their translations. I think every time we have an issue with Funimation, it always seems to be around that. And I even had a lot of people were going, well, what about interspecies reviewers? And I'm like, I agree. But again, that goes back to my theory on why interspecies reviewers got dropped. And again, it goes back to the actors. Everything that I have an issue with Funimation-wise has always been around the actors and how they influence that company, how the ADR directors and how the people that are doing the dub stuff just kind of get their claws in there. Now, that's not excusing the company as a whole for doing things that make you question their practices. Keeping those ADR directors around is a big question mark. I know it's probably a little bit redundant there, but keep with me. Keeping those actors around. And then I think on the opposite end, we always kind of, yeah, we have our hesitations. Don't get me wrong. But with the Crunchyroll side of things, they haven't really done too much that make me really question mark them. Besides here recently with a lot of decisions they make around what shows they really prop up, how they handle certain things, especially with the anime awards. And then, yes, this big, huge thing where they put a lot of money into a certain show that nobody wanted. And that stupid trailer for that thing was it threw up a lot of red flags. That was the trailer they did for High Guardian Spice threw up a lot of red flags for people. And it was really a feeling of what was ingrained in that company. And when, I look back at Funimation again, I realize, and this is something that came up here recently, which site has the most uncensored and violent and nudity on their site? Funimation. Who doesn't have really anything uncensored? Crunchyroll. Now, there's a reason for that. And that's because Crunchyroll focuses on licensing simulcast stuff, which typically is TV broadcast stuff, which is always censored. And Funimation gets masters of stuff because they do Blu-ray releases. It's a big question mark. Like who do you think is what is the lesser of two evils in that scenario? Do you think this is actually a good thing that Colin Decker stepping down? I mean, Colin Decker, I think, did a good job, and he has a legacy there that he's kind of helped. I don't know how far back he was involved with Crunchyroll. I'd have to look at that. But it's not terrible. But at the same time, do you think Rahul being involved now might be able to steer it back away from essentially what Crunchyroll is doing, which is not good things? Like, for the last few years, Crunchyroll has not been my favorite bestest friends when it comes to anime. Let's be honest.
Pretty much where I go, and this Andrew made this argument to me. So you're kind of hearing a couple of my arguments against what he's saying in what he was saying when he was giving the overview. The funny thing is when it comes down to it, I see this from a bigger cultural issue. There's a bigger cultural influence that's causing a lot of the issues that we're seeing in general. Funimation. What Andrew is saying is right. A lot of the people that you're seeing making these quote unquote decisions are people that are the, for lack of a better term, the public face of it. So when you see something, it's real easy to jump right in and say, hey, this is the person that's doing that. But in Crunchyroll's side, it's a little bit harder to see it. It's a lot more subtle because you're not really per se seeing anybody that's out in the open. They're more in the background and hidden, and they do just a quick translation here and there, and then you see it on the text, and it's a quick thing. You don't really see it that blatant and out in the open. However, like I said, this is a cultural issue that's seeping into our fandom. And the issue is not so much whether or not these people that are doing this are all the way up to the top, because they may not, but they feel that they have power, and they are imposing that power upon the people that are higher than them. And they're saying, for lack of a better term, and this is why I was so adamant about the whole gatekeeper issue, they believe they have the right to impose this stuff on you because they hold the masters. They hold the keys. They're going to their bosses and they're saying, if you get rid of me, you lose all of my fans. You see the issue that is causing this problem is they're telling their bosses they have the power. Their bosses are saying, well, we have the money. You either go here or you don't. This is all that issue that you're seeing all up in there. All those issues are coming around to this issue. They say they have the powers. The bosses say they have the power. Yeah, there is some, like I said, the cultural shift is an issue as well. But when it comes down to it, who really has the power? We do. We are the ones who buy their products. Either they produce it the way we want it, which they believe that we're entitled slobs, that we believe that we own this stuff and whatever. But when it comes down to it, either they make our money, they earn our money, they convince us to give them their money, or our money, or not. It's one or the other. Anyway.
So my question.
So going back to the original thing.
I'm looking for the answer in there.
Going back to the original thing is, do I see this as a good thing? Yes and no. I hold out hope that the Rahul guy is actually, like Andrew had mentioned, he is a analytics guy.
Yeah,
and that is a massive thing in his feather in his cap, because analytics guys are people that see things from the background, and right.
They see the numbers. They know what works,
and that to me is a massive thing.
Whether he'll ignore those numbers is the big question mark,
or if he's going to bend to quote unquote the power centers, which is the guys with the money
and that's a good point, because there's a lot of companies that purposely do things that are against the fandom because they want to meet some sort of quota and appease the big bosses that want them to push something specific. We want that. There is no negative impact of having uncensored stuff, but if somebody up higher says, we don't want that on our platform, they're not going to do it. The numbers show people are probably going to click on the uncensored version more than the censored version, but they still won't have it because that's what the bosses want them to do, because they don't want that image on their platform. That's an easy example to give, that despite the fact that, yes, Panini has been a part of Crunchyroll for a while now and has been so ingrained into, Yeah, the analytics, the business intelligence, content programming, production studios, and e-commerce. He'll still sway his thoughts if the bigwigs say to do this. The hope is that you have enough, I guess, because honestly, with Sony and stuff, yes, they still have power. Nothing really changes there. You know, Colin Decker leaves, Rahul takes over. There's still an upper corporation above them that can make the decisions. But the hope here is that you have at least, typically what that comes with this, you have somebody like Rahul that's down here that goes, I know what's going on in this company. The Sony Corporation doesn't. They have no clue what anime is, probably. They just hope that whoever they put in charge understands what they're doing. That way they can make money. Because that, in the end of the day, that's all they really care about besides, yes, social sways that could possibly get themselves ingrained into their company, their corporation. So the hope is that Rahul can say, just leave it to me. I'll handle this. I'll get us in the right direction. You'll see the numbers go up. And then Sony won't care. Now, if they stay stagnant or they go down, that's when the big question marks come up. But yeah, the hope is that because he's so ingrained, he knows where the numbers are. Now, hopefully the numbers aren't against what we think they should be. But that's the hope there, obviously. But yeah.
Yeah, it all comes down to, if they're doing the thing that we want them to do, then their numbers will show well. And when somebody comes in and says, "Hey, you're doing this, I don't want this," and he can say, he'll have the backing to say,
"If you do this, you're going to lose.
You're going to lose money.
Yeah,
and I am making you money, so let me do what I need to do to keep making money." And that is the ultimate back off.
Yeah. And that's a good point to make, is the idea that having somebody, if he is truly ingrained as much as he was in that stuff, he'll have that answer. He can't just say, I don't know if that'll affect us, but sure, let's do it. No, he can say, look, people click on this stuff. If you remove it, you ain't going to get it. And that's money. Do you want to do that? Somebody that obviously knows that stuff. I think the only other thing that would probably be even more beneficial than an analytics person would be somebody that's more ingrained in the social groups. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to be good leaders. Each person kind of has their own, I guess, strong points. And I think that's a good middle area. But again, and we skipped it a while back, the big question mark is that last bit of that statement. Like, his statement that he released sounds so good. It's all about the community. It's about giving people what they want. All that stuff is super positive, stuff that we definitely like. But it's that last bit, and by helping everyone belong, that can mean two different things. Let's be perfectly honest. That could either mean helping everyone belong, as in we want to make sure everything's available, everybody's happy, which is what it should be, honestly. If you want everybody to belong, that means you make everything available and everybody gets what they want. But unfortunately, in this day and age in the West, a lot of very loud groups of people like that out to be something more in the idea of inclusions and stuff like that. Like the High Guardian Spice trailer. It sometimes means the High Guardian Spice trailer, which is completely opposite to inclusion. It's literally saying anything but this is what it's saying. And that's sometimes what they mean when they say everyone belong. It means going out of their way to inclusion to exclude, which unfortunately is a thing in our society in the West for some loud groups of people that honestly shouldn't be that much of our mind share.
That goes back to what I say is I hope it's for the best, but yes, I agree that that's going back to what I was saying about the whole cultural implications, the things that are going on in culture as a whole. And yes, that is kind of code words. But at the same time, I don't know that necessarily what he said is what was posted out there. More than likely, it's gone through 15 social media people, and it was rewritten about 25 different times, and that's what was finally released.
And the lawyers.
So
the lawyers first, social media second, then lawyers third.
So do I take what was put out there as actually his words? No, not necessarily. So take that for what it is.
We can take our, I guess we could take our wins by saying that at least he didn't use the word inclusion. that's the danger word, inclusion. I don't know. That's a sad thing, having a word like that that's so positive, yet so negative now because of what it's kind of done. But we'll see. I'm trying to get out the positive nature of myself. I'm trying to be positive here. I made my video saying I think this is a good thing. I'm going to put my hope in Rahul. I'm going to obviously keep my hesitation
and
there.
Soon we will have a damn it Rahul mug soon.
But yeah, I also include the fact that I still hold my damn it Roberts mug, and I will lift it. Anytime Crunchyroll Sony messes up, I've made it a point that the damn it Robert mug is now a code word for Sony, Crunchyroll, Funimation, you screwed up. But if it all goes downhill, I'll just make another mug that says Rahul said he wants to help everyone belong, and now I don't. And now I go to insert piracy site. I don't know. We'll see. I'm rooting for you, Rahul. If you're hearing this, or if somebody that is connected to you hears this, I am rooting for you. Please, don't keep to what the fans want. Honestly, just it's that simple. Listen to the fans.
We did root for Roberts at one time.
We did, and then she got a damn Robert mug. No, I there was another interesting thing, and I will post this on you. I will definitely make a video once I can get a word on it. I don't think I'm going to get a follow-up. We got, of course, the second batch. Well, not second batch. Another batch of stuff coming from Funimation to Crunchyroll. I got a press release email, and I immediately replied and said, so, what's going on with all that uncensored stuff? Because you have all these shows that came over censored. Where's the uncensored versions? Do you have plans, or will you be bringing them over? And I actually got a reply. They said they're looking into it. So, I don't think I'll get a follow-up. But I'll poke at him, saying, hey, what's going on with that investigation? So, I don't know, the person in the email literally just sound like they didn't know. They're like, you should be able to get into that stuff, but I'll look into those ones. So, and they'll probably go to whoever is in charge of that stuff, and they'll go, yeah, we're not moving that stuff over. Don't reply to that dude. But we'll see. If not, I'll make a video and have my damn it Roberts mug in hand. So, anyways, that was fun. Moving on. Netflix is to consider a subscription tier that is ad-supported following losses. Obviously, here recently, Netflix has not been doing too fantastic. For the first time ever, they're seeing a significant drop in subscribers. Yeah, some of it is due to the whole thing happening in the East with them shutting down servers in certain countries and losing 700,000 subscribers, dropping their stock by 25%. But outside of that, they've also seen, you know, reported losses of over 200,000 subscribers between January and March. And for the first time ever, despite them seeing projected increase of 2.5 million, for the first time ever, they're projecting losses. They're projecting 2 million losses of subscribers from April to June. And so apparently, because of this, Netflix CEO Reed Hastings has stated that even though he's against the idea of making a very complex and the complexity of advertising and having different tiers and stuff like that, he's for consumer choice suddenly. I like how he does that. Like, I don't really like this, but I also really like you guys to have choice. And it's like, and it took you, what, a decade to figure that out? But yeah, their whole thing that he's kind of proposing is that they might be actually looking at making another subscription tier that will be cheaper, but will have ad supports in it. So if you pay a little bit less and you go to watch a movie or something like that, they'll have ad breaks. And I don't know. My opinion is that it's just going to be
Hulu Lite.
No, I mean the price is going to be the thing. And that's the thing that sucks, because yeah, Hulu, I hated it. Like, I hated paying and then still getting ads and a lot of ads with Hulu. So that's the whole balance they're going to have to figure out. If it brings that price down from $20 a month to maybe like $8 a month, I'd be all for it. If it just drops like $3, like it's still like $17, but then you get like gobs of ads. No, this is not going to fix anything. But I mean, for some people that are struggling right now, I mean, I guess it's a good thing. But I just, I, this whole thing just brings up that typical conversation that I keep having is they keep citing the wrong things. They claim the loss of subscribers is due to inflation, account sharing, increased competition, and the already existing accounts in their repertoire. And it's like, or maybe their increase of cost every year up to $20 a month. No other subscription service is $20 a month, and you guys don't have much great options anymore. You have, yes, he points out competition. Things like Disney Plus coming out and having pretty much the catalog that Netflix used to have is now there, but they have better options of content. Netflix is not giving us good content, and their cost keeps going up. Again, $20 a month is nuts. That's nuts for a streaming service. And they don't seem to get it. Like, they can't seem to get it. But again, they were the big dogs in the house, and they pulled in PS3. We're the big dogs. We have this huge, massive audience. Keep upping it. They ain't going nowhere. Every time we up it, nobody goes anywhere. We keep seeing growth. It's now finally punching in their face, and they can't figure it out. Of course, they just don't want to admit it. They probably know.
A lot of the people that run these places are absolutely absurdly insane. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see a lot of these problems. When it comes down to it, YouTube works because it already built its groundwork. It did the right thing in saying, look, you guys can be partners and grow up with us. And then when it got to a certain point, most everybody was already there. So when these newer streaming services try to upstart and knock them off of their pedestal, they're too big.
Yeah.
And Netflix and these other companies, they're doing it backwards. They're trying to get to a point where they're so big and Netflix technically has it, but they don't understand that when they, I've talked about this before with, when we were talking about Funimation in particular, I was talking about the idea of customer goodwill. Customer goodwill is a thing. How goodwill translates into money is hard to quantify. However, it does translate into money. Why? Because if you have that trust that you have built with your customer, you can push a little bit and you can get away with a little bit. And you can as long as you justify it to your customer, you can get away with a lot of stuff. The problem is that it doesn't necessarily mean that your customer is going to agree with you. You're using that goodwill to gently nudge them over the edge to another thing that you're trying to do. However, understand, it is a limited resource. Customers, when it comes to Netflix and doing this random ad-supported thing, like I said, when I brought up Hulu was doing the same thing. They would do, and they actually did the opposite, where they had their service, you could watch it and you watched the ads and you could watch any show. Didn't matter what the show, unless it was a special show that was behind a paywall or something like that. But then you had access to the ability to go premium. Premium gave you the ability to use it on all of your devices. So if I wanted to watch it on my Roku, or if Andrew wanted to watch it on his Apple TV or something like that, we could, or on the iPad or iPhone or whatever, that's what Hulu Premium was. But you still had the stupid ads. And I complained and bemoaned the idea that why the heck, if I'm paying for this service, why am I watching ads still?
Just finally, like real television.
Yeah.
Like the old cable television.
And finally, after me complaining about it for a long time, they finally did add the ability. And this was when anime was, most of Funimation's catalog was on Hulu. So it was kind of, it made sense to be on Hulu.
Yeah, it was actually easier to watch it there because their app was at the time was terrible.
Yeah. And then they ended up finally releasing the ad-free version with an even more premium cost. And I was like, I'm all over it. I'm so sick of the ads. I want that. However, that is not the way Netflix is going about this. I mean, I like Andrew had said, it will really harshly depend on how much of a difference that cost is. If you're talking like $20 a month down to $5 a month, I would maybe consider it. But even then, ads are the way to get out of the premium cost, not lower the premium cost. That's just, mm-hmm. to me, absurd. So yeah, I don't see anything good coming out of this kind of idea. You're basically saying, pay me for access to the catalog, and then, oh, by the way, we're still going to give you ads. It, to me, is backwards. I mean, especially for some people who, I don't see this service in any way, shape, or form being used in, except for maybe somebody who's really strapped for cash, and even then, it would only be because they feel like they need to be a part of a conversation of some sort. So, like Stranger Things, or what was the zombie lady show that you were watching? A couple
Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah, so, people who want to be in
the
on
Timothy Oliphant show. It's all it is. It's the only reason I watched it.
Yeah, because people want to be a part of those conversations. That's the only reason I can see anybody wanting to even partake in any of that kind of issue and not want to pay full price. The people who want Netflix are probably willing to pay that, or they're pirating. I don't see anybody else using that stuff.
Yeah, I think the struggle that I really have is just the idea that you kind of hit on it a little bit, the idea that every time you kind of have to nudge your audience and your fandom, or not really fandom, your customer base, when you nudge them to have to pay more, typically you offer something in return. Like, well, we're doing this price increase, but it's because we're going to offer more content. And yeah, they are trying to offer more content, but it's not good content. So you typically have to have a good track record of good content before you can say, okay, now pay us more. It's an absolute disconnect they're having. But I still, to this day, I think they're, from a vantage point of an anime fan, obviously, because this is a podcast about anime, really do, and I mean, and this can piggyback off of their recent statement that they said over, you know, half of their actual subscribers watched some sort of anime last year, which, again, I think has a lot of grain of salt you can throw on that sucker, such as what is anime to them and how much. But make a subscription tier just anime, please. Just something that competes with everything else. That's all I ask. And I will sub, and I will keep subbed. But right now it's like, no, I'll just sub for 1 month and then just binge everything I need to watch and then shut it back off because, woof, that cost.
Well, even Crunchyroll, going on to what Andrew was saying about the idea of adding some kind of benefit for that increased cost. When Crunchyroll released their manga app, I was happy to up my subscription cost. Why? Because I liked the idea of having the supporting their manga ventures. I wanted that. And I mean, to this day, I still have a Viz Media account there. A Shonen Jump, and I haven't looked at the freaking manga in 4 months. I mm-hmm. still paid that $2. Why? Because I love supporting that content. I want to support these contents. Crunchyroll. I want to support Crunchyroll. Well, Funimation, per se. But,
I did.
Yeah.
Rip.
It's one of those things. That, I mean, Hulu. Why would I know about Hulu and how their tier system works? Because I supported them. Why? Because I like what they do. I want to support the anime industry. And these people are... Okay, now I'm going to go flat out into rant. So let's go ahead and continue on.
Everybody's like, wait, no, finish. You left me held. That's all I really had on it. So if you, yeah.
I would be ranting about the same exact stuff that I've been ranting about for the last 6 months. It, like I said, these people do not realize how much they are just squandering the customer goodwill,
which is
that they have
terrible to do right now, because again, people are more strapped for money than ever before,
and it's getting worse.
You need to take
care of that. Attention to this.
I mean, the thought process to me, if I was part of these companies, would be, okay, pull the reins back, cut down the cost, otherwise you're going to lose people. And again, it looks like Netflix is already projecting that because they're projecting really low numbers, so or a lot of loss. But now, granted, 2 million off of, what, 100 plus million subscribers is not much to us, but to them is a lot. That's a lot of money. That is a crap ton of money. I mean, 2 million times, I mean, that's $40 million right there. So, yeah. Anyways, the Unwanted Undead Adventure light novel series is getting a TV anime adaptation. The Overlap Bunko 9th Anniversary online event has announced. The novel artist itself has released an illustration to celebrate it. And the synopsis for this one is Rent Faina, a 25-year-old adventurer, has been hacking away at monsters for a decade. However, without much talent for the job, Rent finds himself stuck hunting slimes and goblins for meager amounts of coin every day. Little does he know, all this is about to change when he comes across an unseemingly undiscovered path in the labyrinth of the moon's reflection. What awaits him in the end of the path, however, is neither treasure nor riches, but a legendary dragon that wastes no time in swallowing him whole. Waking up a short time later, Rent finds himself not quite dead, but not quite alive either. He is nothing more than a pile of bones, armed with nothing more than his trusty sword, tool belt, and ghoulish new looks. Rent sets on his quest as a newly reborn skeleton to achieve existential evolution, hoping that one day to return to civilization with a more human form. Will Rent succeed, or will the labyrinth consume him for the rest of his undeath? Definitely an interesting concept. I think we're getting more and more of the idea of the skeleton or the undead or the typically bad guy person that's kind of hiding his identity from people. And then gets lots of waifus, obviously. So interesting.
Yeah, I actually kind of like the key art. It looks interesting. The concept, very similar in a lot of ways to some of the other ones that we've gotten. And I do, I'm very interested in seeing what this one can do, because all of these ones have their own little unique spin on these things. So yeah, I'm definitely interested.
Skeleton Knight in Another World. Ghoulish Knight in Another World. There you go. The official website for the TV anime adaptation of Another World with My Smartphone has announced the series will get a second season. Are you excited, Chris?
Definitely.
Really?
I love it.
For sure. For sure. I might go back and try it again. At the time.
It is. I understand. I mean, you were kind at the time. You may still be the overpowered main protagonist, and really his.
The Segoy stuff is really all it is. The protagonist does something great, and then everybody goes Segoy.
But this one is similar. I loved the pervy kind of haremy feel of the show, and it just was goofy fun for me. I liked it for that.
Yeah, he had quite a harem very quickly build up.
it didn't slow down. He has,
but it was like right at the cusp of them. Just like it was like, I think if I remember correctly, it was like right at the cusp of the overpowered isekais just taking off. And so it was like amongst a lot of other stuff that was like, okay, this one for me at the time wasn't doing much. But like I said, I might go back and try it out again before the second season, but we'll see.
One of those things that you find it interesting to see which ones get second seasons, and you go,
never makes sense.
I look at it more along the lines of maybe there's more to it than we originally thought. And it's funny sometimes, because you think back and it's like, even Fruit of Evolution, it getting a second season, I loved it. I loved its goofy humor, and it having a second season, I'm super excited for having a second season of it. And it's like, but at the same time, I could see why a lot of people could look at it and go, well, it's garbage. Well, yeah, but I loved it. It was goofy fun. Smartphone is similar. I could see why people don't like it, but at the same time, to me, it was goofy fun. So it is one of those things. It's like, maybe it is just a matter of some people love it and some people hate it. And the people who love it, more power to you.
Yep. It's like the joke, stop making isekais, and they're like, stop watching it. moving on, we have Onimai, I'm Now Your Sister manga is getting an anime adaptation. And I think the big shocker for this one that kind of shook the anime sphere was that the studio that will be working on this series is Studio Bind. So there you go. Studio Bind doing something besides Mushoku Tensei, Java's Reincarnation. So that's kind of a shock for a lot of people. Now, I have my thoughts on that whole thing, but Yeah, Onii-chan wa Oshimai is the Japanese title for it. Studio Bind's working on it. And then you have director Shingo Fuji, who helped work on Mushoku Tensei: Jobless Reincarnation. He wasn't the actual director of the series. I think he directed one episode. Script work by Michiko Yokote, which done a lot of really good stuff as well. So it's got a solid team behind it. And yeah, technically Studio Bind itself working on it. So yeah, this one, the Mahiro Oyama was just a normal erotic game loving dude until he woke up one morning as a woman. Turns out his mad scientist little sister, Mihari, tried out one of her new experiments on him with a disastrous income, as far as Mahiro is concerned. But Mihari is as determined to study him as he is determined to go back to his shut-in game-playing life. And one thing's for sure, life is going to get a whole lot weirder from here on out. I hate those last lines. The last lines of the synopsis are always stupid. Anyways, thoughts?
I love it. I want to watch it so bad.
It's got some fantastic key art. The key art looks really great. Character looks really fantastic. The thing that I really pushed heavily when this was first announced was that I know that there's a concern for some people that are huge Mushoku Tensei: Jobless Reincarnation fans, including myself. I'm a huge fan of the series. And yeah, there's a temporary crap. Something's pulling their attention from Mushoku Tensei. Like, something will cause them to delay Mushoku Tensei. I don't really think that's the case. I mean, a lot of these studios have more than one team. This could be Studio Bind pushing to get two teams. They are honestly still working on Mushoku Tensei. They already have a second season announced for it. I think this is going to be a B team. Not a B team as negative. It's just a second team. Because the big key thing here is to remember, this is a different director, different script writer. This is a different team. Yes, they might use the same animators. They might have another team of animators. This is a different team. This isn't their main Mushoku team. That team, that director, and that scriptwriter, and everybody are still working on Mushoku Tensei. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is I looked into the manga a little bit. It feels very shorty. Like, it feels like it's probably going to be a short. So this might be something just to kind of get a little bit extra money on the side for Studio Bind. Have this little project. I'm sure they're probably not going to do Mushoku Tensei: Jobless Reincarnation detail and lavishness and visuals and music and everything. This is probably going to be a fun little simple comedy. Again, probably a short that they'll do on the side to kind of supplement. So, which I think is something the studio technically needs. If you're going to be having these long periods of times of developing a really gorgeous show, you kind of need these little things on the side to make a little extra money, which I think is perfectly fine, in my opinion. Yes, if it does cause delays, I'll be mad. If I hear something about, some animator in the background saying they're making us do this at the same time and it's drawing away from me and it's causing us to have issues, yeah, I'll be mad. But for now, I'm okay.
I lean towards they're trying to train new incoming animators. They're trying to, like Andrew was saying, get a second team going. I lean towards they're probably trying to keep revenue coming in, because that is a massive thing. Is they've got to keep money moving. The worst thing that they could possibly do is absolutely focus everything on one project and never put out anything else. That would be the worst possible situation, because what if all they ever do is Mushoku Tensei, and then after that's all done, they don't know what to do, and everything else that comes out after that is just flops.
Thankfully, they didn't name their studio Jobless Reincarnation or something.
Right?
They'll never be able to get away from that. No, everything that comes after that just looks like Mushoku Tensei. like visually and style just looks like it. So it's like the KyoAni thing where everybody's like, it's just KyoAni show. They all look the characters all look the same.
But no, I love the concept of this. When I first heard about it, I was like, I love it. I can't wait for this. But I didn't really know that it was Studio Bind or Mushoku Tensei's team that's doing that, or studio that's doing this. So it's a nice little addition to know that, because I do like what they did with that. And it is one of those things that you go back to thinking about it. It's like, when it comes down to it, it is one of those things that they've got to have different things going on. They can't just focus everything on one show. Yeah.
All right. Looking forward to that, though. I don't think we have a date yet. I probably assume maybe a fall show. That would be interesting. Maybe summer, though. Summer would be interesting if that came that early. But they didn't really have anything in their trailer for it besides little clips of the manga. So that tells me that they weren't at least in production for possibly summer. But who knows? Again, it really depends on if it's a short. If it's a short, it doesn't really take much time to prepare that stuff. But yeah.
Joke's on you. It's going to be just a bunch of screenshots.
It's going to be the, what was it, the way the house husband is just sliding manga. they got the JC staff team over to Studio Bind and to do an adaptation like that. Please don't. Anyways, the official web, and it'll be on Netflix. The official website for Encouragement and Climb announced October premiere for next summit. Super excited for this. Obviously, we absolutely love Encouragement to Climb. It's been a series that me and Chris have been following for quite a while now. It's one of those series that kind of just keeps getting better and better. It's essentially about a girl who discovers hiking and meets a friend, and the two of them learn about hiking, what they need, the equipment, and they go out and they do hiking. It's a lot of fun. Had a little bit of drama here recently with the recent seasons, a little bit of jealousy. It's always going to be kind of lighthearted and very subtle, but they had a little bit of cute drama in there as well. Not heavy stuff. But the interesting thing that I really found with this announcement as well is they're going full length. It's very shocking. I mean, we were talking about with the first season, I think it was like a 5-minute short. And then they went to like the later seasons was like 12-minute shorts. And now they're doing full length episodes. So that very interesting shift for it, honestly. I'm not sure if there's like a mindset behind that, or if maybe it's just gotten progressively more popular, so they're able to justify it, or maybe the stories themselves are getting more deep. Maybe it's required to have full length episodes because they're going to start getting to some possible real storylines that are going to be affecting the characters, and so they need that time. But
yeah, anything that gives them more time to work with, jokes are all over this. No, I love it. I really do love the storyline. I think Andrew had watched it at first, and then and he was getting kind of excited about it, and so I went back and watched it, and I loved it. And so it's one of those shows that has easily become one of our favorite kind of cute girls doing cute things. And I'm more than happy for them to have plenty of time to work with that show. So yeah.
Yeah, I know that early on, it was like the thing that grabbed me was the character designs were so cute. Like, I just love the character designs. Different, very unique style to it. But, and it has some really, really good animation here and there. So, attention to detail and stuff like that. But yeah.
Wasn't cool she the one that couldn't walk, or she had some kind of a problem? And then that was the whole idea behind the encouragement of doing that. So,
yeah, I don't remember that. It's been a while, though. I think if its first season was like back in 2015 or something. So. Yeah. The official website for Inspector Manga has revealed that the second season for the anime adaptation has been delayed from October to January of 2023.
All right, I quit.
Yay. I just want this stupid season to come out already so I can see if it gets better. Again, I don't have a problem with Inspector. I think it's a great concept. The chemistry is fantastic. I just want to see if the writing gets, I don't know, better paced. I just did not like that last arc. I felt it was so dragged out. But it's got cool concept behind it. So I just want this season to come out so I can finally see if it gets better. But
doesn't matter. Chris, I quit.
Chris is just mad because
I quit.
He's got to have his cute little cane girl back. She was, her character design's fantastic. Honestly.
I love her.
But no, they, like typical with these companies, they have cited various circumstances. Big shock. They didn't say Billy screwed up. They didn't say the studio's failing to produce it. Just various circumstances. So there you go.
Well, you could probably guess based on what's going on with certain studios shutting down here and there. So possible. But when it comes down to various circumstances, it could be a lot of different things.
It could be various stuff.
Yeah, it could be various things. It could be various things. It's almost like the entire thing just encapsulates the excuse, huh?
Yeah, they pulled it off. They tricked us. Some more information has released for More Than a Married Couple But Not Lovers anime adaptation. They released a new visual for this series, as well as stated that the chief director will be, or the director will be, Takao Kato of To Love Ru. Oh, that is Chief Director, sorry. The studio Mother will be animating it. Obviously, they've worked on Alpharetta and Star Blazers, so...
I know you were taking a chance, but I want to see the visuals.
You gotta look at... He's gotta see her. There you go. You see her? Look at her with your eyes, Chris. Look at her with your eyes. I guess I could just scrunch up all this stuff.
No, don't scrunch nothing up. You're gonna make things mad.
We're having trouble with the recordings.
I just want to see the picture.
But anyways, the synopsis is the manga centers around third-year high school student Jiro Yakuin, who gets saddled with his Gyaru classmate Akari Watanabe for his class marriage training project.
Bad wording. Bad wording.
Huh?
That's bad wording.
What?
Saddled with a...
Oh, I got you. Maybe they're doing like Darling in the Franxx or something. I don't know. They're gets saddled with his classmate Gyaru Akari Watanabe to do Darling in the Franxx training because the world soon will need mechas, Moe mechas, to fight against the evil Moe. Anyways, marriage training project. They're doing a marriage training project at their school, apparently. Apparently, their schools are doing this now because birth rates are going down so fast, the schools themselves are hooking up kids.
Can we word this any worse?
But yeah, marriage training project that about practicing to be married couples, to be adulting. Jiro is the complete opposite of Akari, but the two know that if they do well, they will be able to switch partners with the respected crushes. So they force themselves to act like perfect married couple. Because apparently if you marry somebody so darn good in the real world, you can just ditch each other for the one that you actually wanted to marry. That's normal. It's like it's training, and there's instead of in training, like I don't know if maybe the teacher like specifies like if you guys do good, then you can trade partners. I don't know. There's going to be something behind this is why they think that if they do well, they just get to get the one they want. Maybe there's a ranking system in the class, and if you do well, you get to pick your partners, which would be very awkward. That they would like, okay, well, Akari and Jiro did so well. They got the A. They got the top rank of the class.
They get to swing.
So you two now can choose who you want to get with. And he's like, oh, yay, this person. That'd be like a glove confession. So I don't know how that exactly works. But maybe they're confident with who they want to hook up with. I don't know. But anyways, artwork's pretty good. Yeah, there you go. Check that out. That's interesting to you.
Brilliant. I love it.
There's more. We have a better one later on. You'll love it. The official website for Peter Grill and the Philosopher's Time anime has revealed information about the second season. I think we announced the second season quite a while back. But the subtitle for it is Peter Grill and the Philosopher's Time Super Extra. Of course, Wolfbane will be working on it again, but they will be collaborating with Studio 7 for the production. And the director, Tatsumi, will be returning for the series as the director. So that's a positive. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. We really enjoyed the first season a lot. Very fun adult comedy. I almost need to make... It's going to be very difficult for me to do that on YouTube. But I need to really make a best adult comedies video. I think that'd be funny. Peter Grill would definitely be in there.
Yeah,
and
somebody
reviewer is definitely going to be in there.
Somebody had piped up on Discord about that and... It's easy to suggest this one. There is certain aspects that I could do without, but it is when it comes down to it, it's kind of the punchline of all the jokes, and so it's like, you put up with the bad side to get the good stuff, and it is a really goofy fun show.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those harems that actually they do stuff.
Yeah,
it's a harem where they actually do it. Yeah.
I almost want it to be in the hentai area.
Yeah.
I hate to say that.
That would be nice. Like, I think Interspecies Reviewers is pretty solid with that. Like, that it does go over the edge, but it's not like the whole show is that. Even though it's difficult to find clips for a YouTube video for that series. The website website has opened to announce the Galaxy Next Door manga will be getting a TV anime adaptation in 2023. So... the manga is by Amagakure of Sweetness and Lightning. So if you're a fan of Sweetness and Lightning, same creator. So that's a big plus for some people. Studio Asahi Production will be animating it. And yeah, The synopsis is a desperate manga. I read this before and it messed me up because it repeats itself. Let me figure out what it is. Since his parents died, manga artist Ichiro has barely scraped by, forced to support his two younger siblings on just a middle school education. He doesn't even have time to learn how to use a computer, which forces him to keep wrestling with pen and paper when his artist assistants quit to strike out on their own. On top of juggling deadlines, family, and the constant fear of losing his job, Ichiro feels like close to a total breakdown. But then a new assistant pops up in Ichiro's life, and his prospects immediately start to brighten. She's an incredible artist, she's always finishes on time, and she's beautiful to boot. But she also seems to know an awful lot about him, and soon she makes the confession that bends Ichiro's mind far beyond the confines of Earth. I would assume, based on the title, it probably means that she's an alien. She looks like the girl from, I don't know, Zero, so
no,
she's probably
it's a confession.
The princess.
She's going to confess to him, Andrew.
And that's going
to
bend his mind beyond
yes,
the confines of Earth.
Exactly.
It's like that moment where it's like behind the school. And he's like, oh, crap. She asked me to come here because she has to tell me something. What could it possibly be? And then she comes around the corner and she says, eto, ski. And then suddenly he's like, and his mind just starts shooting out into the galaxy. And you see all the clusters of stars and the moons going by him. And he's just like, what? What did you say? Anyways,
she is cute. Love it. I love her character artwork. So, yeah, it is one of those that I definitely am very interested in seeing how this one turns out.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I mean, the synopsis makes it really feel like it's a like possibly a drama slice of life with a little bit of sci-fi in there. But I'd be curious to see how like driven it is with that kind of stuff, because the obviously the question that comes is, I guess, how heavy it will get. I mean, the concept that it's presenting in the synopsis is that this guy's about to break down. Like, how dark is, or how deep is it going to get in that kind of element of him being down and out? It's comedy, romance, demographic, seinen. It could be possibly more serious. I'd be curious if it's more, I guess his question is, if it's going to be more serious, maybe have some poking fun in there, or if it's going to be more comedy, this chick's cute kind of thing. Or if it's going to be more, he's in a dark place and she pulls him out of it kind of thing. Which, based on comedy romance, it's probably going to be more.
Yeah, and because it's seinen, and it's, you know, it's going to be more adult in nature, so it should be solid.
Yep. Oh, here's a fantastic one. Are you ready? Are you ready? For My Stepmom's Daughter Is My Ex light novel has begun streaming, a promo for the anime adaptation. It's going to premiere in July. So next season, are you excited? Studio is Project Number 9, set to animate it. Of course, the same studio that did Higahiro, which I immediately jumped onto because the character art looks awfully like Higahiro.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to mess something up because I'm playing the video, Chris. It's been going well. Our recording's been going well, so hopefully it doesn't mess up. But yeah, anyways, Shinsuke Yanagi of bottom-tier character Tomozaki will be directing the series, and yeah. Basically, I hate the synopsis so much, so I'm going to say my own synopsis. It's essentially, yes, these two were dating at some point, and they kind of had a falling out, and they broke up. And then later on, obviously, the parents get married, and they become brothers and sisters.
I don't know. It looks goofy.
Yeah. So, like I said, right around the corner, so not very long away.
And shows like this work for me, so we'll see.
Yeah.
He's putting on her stockings.
That's the other girl.
That's
probably the girl that he likes.
Love it.
But yeah, it kind of has this whole idea, obviously hinting at their feelings still possibly being there, but like the fallout of it, where they just kind of keep bickering at each other. The synopsis kind of insinuates this idea of him not liking him, treating her treating him like the little brother or something like that. It's like, I hope the synopsis is just really stupid, because the synopsis, I'm stuck on this. I hate the synopsis so much because it makes it feel so stupid. Like it's all about like, hell, she's the older sibling, I'll show her. It feels very juvenile, I guess. But we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, my Stepmom's Daughter Is My Ex light novel. Coming in anime format next season. It's totally anime. It's just totally anime. Moving on, we have a new teaser trailer was revealing the Legendary Hero is Dead manga is getting a TV anime adaptation. The studio is that will be working on it is Studio Leiden Films. And the synopsis is Toka is your average, slightly perverted farmer in the village of Cheza. While he daydreams about being a hero and getting the girl, the real hero, Sion, is out battling demons that threaten to invade the world. But one day, Toka accidentally kills a hero. With the legendary hero dead, who is going to save the world? Toka quickly buries Sion's body to hide the evidence, but wakes up the next day to discover he is no longer in his own body. I'm trying to figure out what the whole, like, veggie in the glove thing is.
Because he's a farmer.
Did he feed that to the hero and the hero choked on it?
I don't know. It's great, though. That is perfect. This is one of those sad things is going back to what me and Andrew have talked about before, the idea of that is a brilliant joke. And if we go into it and they do that one joke,
the first episode,
and nothing else after that, that is the scariest part of this. But that is a brilliant concept of that dude's just out in the farm and accidentally kills the hero. And then what? I don't care. That was hilarious. I want to see it right now. Bad.
Yeah, I keep bringing up the whole first episode, first chapter, title syndrome thing. And it's like, sometimes it goes beyond that, but sometimes it's always like, do we really need to title it something that was in the first chapter that's not even relevant anymore? I know there's a whole thing about how they list it in Japan with light novels and stuff like that. It's actually a thing that helps them promote their books, but it's like, please stop putting the first joke in the title. Please stop. But it sounds funny. But beyond that, it's going to be the big question mark. So we'll see what goes from there. But looks decent so far. Visuals are okay based on the key art they released. But yeah, we'll see if it has legs. Obviously, the hero has no more legs. I think he's taking over the hero's body because I think he looks off to like the other people around him, which look like they're probably like part of the Demon Lord army. So yeah, he definitely is taking over his body, but it seems like his old body is the one that he probably buried. So he's probably going to have to dig up his body, which is weird. Very weird. Body swap with the hero concept. Studio Pero has announced that Play It Cool Guys manga is getting an anime adaptation for all you people that want to see some cool guys. We like to help you guys get some news too. Set to premiere in October. It's basically about a bunch of guys who look like they're super cool, and the whole joke is that apparently they're actually a bunch of dorks, a bunch of nerds that when nobody is looking, they do nerdy things. So definitely interesting there. So check that out. The official Twitter account Comic New Type announced that Sakai Saito will be launching a new spinoff of Super Cub light novels. So, and this will be centering on Reiko. So if you're a fan of Reiko, I know we have a couple in our Discord that are fan of Reiko. They're going to apparently have a whole new spinoff just for her. So a manga, obviously. This will be set to launch on April 29th. So previously, Saito had worked on Touring After the Apocalypse, so if you like that series well, you might want to check this out. I think we already suggest heavily to check out Super Cub in general, but yeah, there you go.
It deserves it. It really does.
Yeah.
We need to hurry up and get that anime coming.
Yeah, more anime. It's just more anime. Just keep pouring Super Cub. moving on, we have Heroes Inc. has announced that the What God Does in a World Without Gods manga is getting a TV anime. The Japanese title is Kaminaki Sekai no Kamisama Katsudo. So the manga centers around Yukito, the heir to the questionable cult leaders. After an unfortunate death, he reincarnates in a world without the concepts of God and religion. So there you go. Interesting art style for it. They went out of their way to create a whole bunch of different key arts based on different emotions for the girl. It was kind of weird. But yeah, she looks like a goofball. So I'll be interested in that one. And then we have Kadokawa has announced Night with a Cat manga is getting an anime adaptation in summer. Studio Puyokai will be animating it. And Minoru Ashina of Isekai Quartet will be directing it. This is when Futa comes home to tired at night. All he wants to do is spend time with his new cat. All the mysterious habits and mannerisms of the house cat are carefully produced in the series of comedy about living with an adorable furball. So, another series about cats, because Japan loves their cats that they can't own, apparently. I wonder if that's a thing. I do know that they talk a lot about how it's difficult to find apartments and stuff that allow pets. But, like, I wonder if it's one of those aspects of it, since it's so difficult to have a place where you can have pets, and they're so hard to take care of, and it seems like they're expensive to take care of in Japan, maybe it's just they just try to fulfill their fantasy of having a cat and a pet by just watching and reading about pets.
Well, working with cats, I would imagine with the walls that they have with, like, the I know that not all their walls are like that, but a lot of walls have that kind of paper stuff. And how cats are, they'll scratch up everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. Got to have a scratching post. Always have a scratching post with the cat. I don't even have a cat, and I know that.
They will use your legs as scratching posts. They do that. Just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Because cats are cats.
And our last news we have is Princess Connect Redive is launching its ReZero collab. So if you're a fan of ReZero and you're not already playing Princess Connect Redive, definitely jump in on that. They currently have the REM banner going on until the 15th, I believe. And then after that, they will have an Emilia banner that will be on May 19th. So, and you also get a free RAM if you do the story progression for the event. So,
y'all would be proud of me. I have so far been able to resist the urge to go and get a RAM.
And it's probably because Andrew keeps saying that he's not liking the game. Like, it was fun for, like, the first couple days, and then I realized the banner rates suck terrible, and the pity is not even there, really. I mean, there is a pity, but it resets, and, like, it feels like you're progressing for a while, and then it just, you hit a brick wall, and, like, I feel like I'm getting nowhere in the game anymore, and that's within a week, so.
And I don't know. Andrew feels like he's getting nowhere, then that would make it 10 times worse for Chris.
Yeah, and he doesn't need to be wailing on another game. Says Genshin Impact.
I'm content with my whale.
Your status, bubbles his right his now. Heavy dolphin status.
Ugh. Big fish. Yeah.
I mean, it looks good.
I am a big fish.
It looks good. Good music. Characters are great in it. I've always loved Princess Connect. I think it's a fantastic anime, and so I always wanted to jump into the game. It's just, yeah, if you have issues with control, don't touch it, because, like I said, the rates are not good, and the cost. To give you an idea, like I said, the pity resets. The pity is 300, and I think I calculated the cost would be, if you had a limited banner come out, the cost to be to get a guaranteed character would be like $658.
God.
Woof. That's to get 300 rolls. And like I said.
And there are they fragments like all the other ones? Or?
And yeah, if you get the character, it's only 3-star. If it's a limited character, that's 3-star.
Ugh.
And in order to get them to like able to compete with other 5-stars that you can get up to 5-star, it takes a lot of fragments. And yeah, I would assume to get up to a 5-star or whatever of a character would probably be thousands. So, nope. I'm not putting no money in that game. I'll probably go after Summer Karu after, because I think her banner comes out again next month. I think I'll try after Summer Karu, but I might just dump it after that. I don't know. We have a couple people on Discord that really enjoy it, so don't take my word for concrete. There's plenty of people that enjoy it. I think a lot of it really does kind of... I think my issues that I'm having is because I'm coming into it late. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to keep plugging at it. And we'll if my opinion changes, I'll let you guys know. But yeah. Rem, Emilia. Beat up Beetlejuice a bunch. Because he's the boss. Kill him a bunch of times. That's a lot of fun. So yeah. We have some time for our community, which is fantastic. Let's jump in our community and answer questions, because I like I said, we are technically getting a little behind.
Was the farmer hero killer? Was he the one that you were talking about that I would like more or something like that?
No, I was just joking about the whole stepmom's my mom of my ex girlfriend thing, Majig.
Oh,
I thought you'd get a kick out of that. But apparently the farmer thing was the more funny.
Got
a big belly chuckle out of Chris mid synopsis reading, which is always fun for me.
That probably derailed you big time, I'm sure.
I'm used to it. Like, we do all the previews we do, and you just, like, laugh in the middle of it. My brain just goes, pause, continue. It's like I just pause, play. Anyways, yeah. As always, if you want to leave us a comment for the podcast, we definitely appreciate it. We have a contact us button at takuspirit.com. There's also a link to our Discord on takuspirit.com where you can go there and add your questions to the channel that is for the anime cast questions. But just like Lightning Lynx did, what is the most annoying misconception about the anime community?
That we're going to say.
Oof. Don't I'm say sorry. That word. We got to put
okay,
on YouTube.
Okay, I got it. I'm sorry. That we enjoy...
What
did I say? No, I can't
Come
say
on,
that
Come on, Chris.
Either.
YouTube.
I don't know. You say it better.
That we like little children?
That we like children.
Yeah. That all anime is hentai.
Yeah.
That's the other anime. Bad one. Mm-hmm. I think for, like, the general public, it's that we like tentacle monsters and stuff. That's, like, from their perspective, it's all prawn.
Because somebody took one clip and showed it to them, and this is what they're watching. No.
Well, it was like the argument that I always give people. Well, like, when I was working, there was this one place I worked with, and there was this guy across from me in the hall, and he kept saying things like that it's all, like, it's all hentai. And it's like, okay, so because there is adult animation of this sort, that's why you think that it's all this. Yeah, that's all it is. I'm like, okay, so because there is adult stuff, content of, you know, your stuff of live action movies, and yes, there's even Popeye stuff. There's, like, every cartoon you can think of has adult stuff out there. That suddenly means that everything is that? No, that's it. I'm like, okay, there you go. Yeah, I agree. But the anime community itself, yeah, I think that's a thing. Is that misconception? Because and the issue there is that a lot of the stuff that you see that comes out that gets popular, sometimes it is stuff that's questionable. And then they have people that whenever things get... Like, the whole thing with Spy Family is just immediately... Oh, obviously, because Anya, these are a bunch of creeps. But I don't know. I think for the community itself, I think the other thing that I want to mention was the misconceptions about the fandoms being bad. And this is something that always kind of comes up when it comes to things like, yeah, JoJo fans, Fate fans, every this idea that there's communities that focus solely on one property. So that whenever somebody talks about a property and then somebody criticizes them for talking about that property, the response is the Fate fans came after me. The MuvLuv fans came after me. JoJo fans came after me. It's this idea that because you got criticized by one person that seems like they obviously really like that property means that that community is toxic. I hate that. Like, I hate that concept that this community is toxic. This community is toxic. This community is toxic. I've recently had the feeling that I want to break that mindset. That whenever somebody says something is toxic, it's not really the fans of that are toxic. It's just that you've seen some people that came to you that are negative at you that like that. And so you immediately attached. That must be a bad community. I think it was something was like a turning point for me was recently when I was doing Elden Ring. When I played Elden Ring, I was terrified because I kept hearing Souls fans are toxic. And sure enough, when I played the game, I had maybe one person come into the stream and say something negative about what I was doing. They said that I was cheesing because my first build was caster. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of boring, so I'm probably going to change anyways. But even when I was criticizing one of the bosses in the game, I felt like I was going to get bashed to heck. No, not really. It's just you probably had like a few people that are just dumb idiots be negative to you, and thus you call it toxic. I think that idea that there is subgroups within the anime community that are these toxic groups, is, I think it needs to be shedded. Just instead of saying this community is toxic, say there's a bunch of idiots that were negative to you. If you suddenly have like four or five people that are Fate fans that say that your video is dumb because you got something wrong within the Type Moon universe, just say that four people were idiots. Don't say the Type Moon fandom is toxic. Let's shed that mindset that communities are toxic. And just say there's a bunch of idiots out there. Can we do that?
Yeah. I think that's a generally a good direction to go. I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, even some of the worst people that we've bumped into, when it comes down to it, it's not that they're bad per se. It's just that they're trying to get across something, and in a lot of cases, they're not wording it rightly. And we've talked about that before. Is no matter how you look at it, text in most cases is a horrible way to get points across. Yeah. I mean, even when we're talking on the microphones, in some cases, it's like somebody will listen to something and they get stuck on something, and it's like, that's, yeah, I understand what you're hearing, but that's not what I was saying. So I'm sorry that I worded it badly, but when it comes down to it, there's no real way for me to undo what I did. It's out there in the open and everybody's listening to it. And some people got my point. Some people didn't. It is what it is.
Nobody caught my sarcasm when I said that Chris was freaking out about the whole Spy Family controversy. Like, there'll be somebody like, so does your brother like this group too? I'm like, dude,
no.
You don't know who Chris is. Chris was laughing at it. You don't have to worry about Chris. He's with me. The joke is that he got enraged by it, and I wanted to ignore it.
No, did we already talk about this? I was going to point that out at some point. When it comes down to it, it's, I was agreeing. I agreed with you when I listened to the thing. It was like I even piped up. Did you not hear the sarcasm? Because I thought the same thing. Is that the way it came across was that he was saying that Andrew was saying that I was no. In all actuality,
I seen it and said this is obvious bait. I'm ignoring it. The point was that you went, we need to be mad about this. It wasn't that you were saying that we do need to be mad about this. It's just that you reacted to it how they wanted to. That was the whole point of that segment of the video.
And the sad thing is even after that, and I had pointed it out.
And then somebody in the comments said it, and I'm like, okay, apparently Chris is right. I apparently said something wrong.
And it was funny because I actually agree with Andrew. Is when it comes down to it, I think it's stupid that we're being told what we should and should not think. We're literally being split, and this, like I've said before, this is a bigger cultural thing. But when it comes down to it, we are being told you have to be mad about this, or you have to be mad about what they're mad about, and we need to break out of that paradigm because literally it's making us hate each other.
Yeah,
and that is the most frustrating thing about this is you have to be on literally one side or the other. We have tried very hard to stay down the middle, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to stay down the middle. I told you guys about a year or so ago or 2 years ago that I'm not as likely to keep my mouth shut about a lot of this stuff anymore. And that's why I've been being more vocal about these stupid things that I'm seeing. It's getting harder and harder because literally, no matter what, you are on a side. Even if I keep my mouth shut, I'm technically choosing a side, and I don't want that. I want us to come together as friends.
I think with Shugo Tensei was a turning point for me. Like that was the point where it just felt like you can't really. This is trying. They're obviously trying to cause a divide here with the fandom with Mushoku Tensei, and I feel like I couldn't really ignore him. Or typically with a lot of cases, I could just ignore it. Let's be honest, with Yuri on Ice, it was really, the Crunchyroll was going nuts with Yuri on Ice. It's like, oh my gosh, look at the show, look what it's saying, and I'm going, yeah, I mean, sort of, but it looks like just your typical Yuri bait, or Yaoi bait. I mean, I don't see anything here that's not in, like, 50 million other thirsty Yaoi bait stuff, but sure, go with it. And it wasn't until, like I said, Mushoku Tensei, where it's like, I just feel like I can't not say anything anymore. I will have to be the bad guy to say, he's dirt for a reason. There's a reason why he is the way he is. You don't have to turn into, because you like this, you're into this. Again, the misconceptions of anime community. Because you like Mushoku Tensei, that means you agree with Rudy's perviness about these girls. No, doesn't mean that. You don't have to like this means you like this. Because you like this story does not mean you, because you like a war story does not mean you are pro-war. It's the story that it's telling in this world itself. And again, I do agree with you. It does feel like there's that push to split the game. And that was my whole point that I've been really chiming on for the last few years. While you're ranting about that whole thing, I'm ranting at the same time going, stop letting them tell you to hate each other. We as an anime community have been spit on for years. I grew up in the 90s with anime and had to hide it because people thought it was stupid cartoons. You like Dragon Ball? Are you a child? And it continued my entire life. I'm going to work at a business and I can't really communicate to people hobbies because my hobby is anime. And if I say that I like anime, they'll go, oh, that tentacle stuff? I seen a picture of it on Facebook one time saying how terrible Japanese animated stuff is. It's always this. It's adult stuff. And I can't say anything because I don't want to even get in that conversation that it's going to be difficult to win. And yet, we've been pushed away so much, and we've always been the outsiders for so long, and now we're turning on each other. And it's like, why? The anime community has always been so strong, and yet now we're starting to get divided into all these stupid subsections and listening to the outside telling us what we should and shouldn't be enjoying it. I think that's probably because it's becoming more mainstream, and so you have a lot more, you know, outer acceptance outside of the general anime fandom. But it's shocking. It's always been shocking to me. Like, we've always been so strong. We've always been so tight knit. And now we're kind of letting ourselves get kind of pulled in different directions. And it's ridiculous. The stupid mid joke. This thing's mid. This thing's garbage. Your waifu's trash. It's like, yeah, it's funny to poke and prod at somebody that you know will take the joke and you know personally. But outside of that, it's like, why? Why does it feel like it's so great to prod at people what their favorites of a thing and say that their top list is trash and stuff? Just enjoy things. Wow, I went on a rant.
Yeah. When it comes down to it,
anything else?
When it comes down to it, I agree. It comes down to why are we? I mean, the
apparently
biggest,
the misconception of anime community is that we're tight knit because we ain't no more. Burn, drop mic.
We used to the biggest split in our community was sub versus dub. Mm-hmm. And now
I miss those days.
Yeah, I
miss those days.
We were always me being kind of the most extreme on the sub side, and I would make my argument about this is the reason why, and when it comes down to it, I'm fine with you being a dub person. I really am. But now that seems like Andrew was saying, days gone. It's a pipe dream to think that at that a time like that could ever come back. I wish it would. I wish that was our biggest issue. I wish that deciding with who was more strong was
which subgroup you went with. The other thing
was Ichigo versus Kenpachi. Who was actually stronger in that fight during Soul Society?
Hey, we still have that. It's Goku could beat up Anya because we always have to have a Goku could beat this character thing.
It's one of those things of I wish
or Saitama.
I love that kind of those kinds of arguments of power battles and discussing those kinds of things. That's the community I long for. We see it here and there on Discord because people are trying to just love each other
love each other.
They
positive
love each other.
Jesus, geez.
And
there's a Twitch reference. Check out our Twitch channel.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I wish that we just had more of that, of just having fun with anime.
Okay, you heard it here. Going forward, on a regular basis, Chris will be posting a block character versus block character matches. So you can jump in there and vote. He'll like post a picture of two characters and put like a smiley for one and a sad for the other, and they'll just do votings.
That's what we have at Ira. Ira does all that stuff.
Yeah, I can do that. But anyways, the other question was
just keep piling stuff on poor Ira.
Lightning Link says one more. What is your favorite power system? Power system. I sort of liked Seraph of the End quite a bit compared to most. But that's kind of been, again, it's one of those difficulties. Like sometimes when you see it kind of be used a lot elsewhere, it kind of makes it damper. Like the whole you have to overpower your blade to use it kind of thing. But I did enjoy Bleach when it first came out. I thought that was a really cool concept, and they kind of ruined that with the whole filler series. the filler story's kind of ruined a little bit for me, but
Seraph of the End is cool.
I like the whole idea of a weapon being something. I mean, Noragami did it, Seraph of the End did it, again, Bleach kind of did it, but I always like the idea of your weapon being like another entity of power than yourself.
Bleach does something really fascinating, and I really do commend it. I mean, forget about the concept of the Bonto arc did mess something up, but it didn't take away from what it was actually doing. And finishing out a lot of that series, I think that it had some very fascinating elements. I would say, and I hope Andrew will be able to confirm a lot of it when he finishes reading through a lot of the books. What I seen of the Mushoku Tensei, their power system, I think is actually kind of fascinating as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that shapes up when either I read the books or Andrew gets caught up to where he wants to be and he feels more confident with talking about it. So I think that one is pretty fascinating as well. But I'm going to probably lean that Bleach is probably the most interesting overall power system so far.
Yeah, I think the thing we have with Mushoku Tensei is so far it hasn't really gotten complex, but more the idea that it's well thought out and it's not it at least has I guess it's labeling. Like, it's doing a good job of labeling what it's doing. I was a little bit fascinated when I got into the books and started to get into aspects of, you know, and getting into how, okay, if you create a water ball, it costs like 10 mana. But the thing that he was curious about was that if you make the water ball bigger, it would cost 15. And so you'd think the reverse, that if I make it smaller, it would cost 5, right? No, it still costs 15. Like, it's like you have a baseline of what you create, and if you make it bigger or smaller, you have to add mana to sort of manipulate it to be bigger or smaller, so it still ends up costing more in the end, even if you are making something smaller. But, yeah, it is nice to have something like that where it does feel kind of... It feels like it's thought out. It's not just a simple thing. ReZero, I hope to get more into a lot of that stuff, but the whole witches and the sins and all that kind of stuff, not really necessarily a power system, but more of a... just the magics in that world itself.
I was fascinated by the concept of the mechanics in Shield Hero. They've kind of really shifted away from that, but hopefully they'll at some point get back to
the absorb and learn concept and building up each one. It feels very like Blue Mage concept with like one of the old Final Fantasies, that kind of thing, which is always kind of interesting as well. So I feel like there's something that I ran into a while back that I really liked, but then I've forgotten what it was. So I'll probably remember when I'm editing. That always kind of happens whenever we do these kind of questions, but yeah. Anywho, or maybe we'll readdress it later. Moving on, we have King Aaron says, "What kind of apples do you like?" Is that one of those things where it's like it's not what he's talking about? Are you insinuating something?
I did try
them apples kind of thing. Them apples kind of thing.
I did try recently. There was a at a place that I worked, I learned about this thing called crab apples, and they are okay. Very, very sour. Think the Granny Smith apples on crack. They're really tiny and very, very sour, but apparently a lot of people like them. I don't know. Probably standard red apples. I don't know.
IMAX are pretty good too. I've had an iMac for a long time.
You like
iMacs
too?
It's still pushing. We've had a couple of issues today, but
a little bit crunchy.
It still works good. No, I don't need an iMac. It's a really old iMac, and it still works great. So I've gotten my money's out of it over the several years. What going on?
He's been chewing on this thing
going
for
on 11
a long
years.
Time.
Yes, 11 years. It's 11 years running. Lemming chimed in and said, "Why is Spice and Wolf so good?" But as an anime, it never really completed to a point I feel satisfied. Also, Darren King Aaron, Golden Delicious are the best. So apparently, Golden Delicious is the best apple. Is that what he's saying? Is Golden Delicious like apple?
He says, stop chewing on your iMac and go eat a Golden Delicious.
Golden Delicious, yeah. Gotcha. Why is it so good? It's a good writer. The writer is... It's kind of one of those things, again, I go back to my first impressions when I first watched the anime, is I didn't like the whole e-commerce stuff, the coins and the exchange rates and buying and selling. And then I watched the second time and I was more receptive of that. And I realized, holy crap, this writer is not just writing about characters doing something, characters on adventure. This writer knows how to create a breathing world. And I think because they're, yes, you can argue in some cases that you might get too much in those economic stuff. And it, like I said, that was my first push away when I first started watching it. But when you kind of see it as them existing in this world and them interacting with people, making trades, making deals, you realize that how the world feels like it's alive and that everything outside of them makes sense, it makes them more believable as characters. It's not just about a guy who finds a hot fox girl or a wolf girl and then they go run around together. It's like them actually in a breathing world that exists and has an economy and a government and a system that's within it. And then again, to your point about it being terrible that the anime didn't continue, yeah, it's we're getting another anime adaptation coming up here soon, which is fantastic. But even still, like right now, you can go read the novels and you get so much more. Like, the anime did well. Like, I enjoy it. It's one of my favorite anime of all time. But yes, obviously, in the original source material, a lot of inner dialogue, a lot of stuff that would kill the pacing of the anime that was cut. And you get into that stuff, and it just adds a whole nother level to the characters that you never really seen before. And it's just, again, it's characters on top of chemistry. The writer is so good at chemistry, too. Like, the chemistry is astounding. Like, the chemistry between Lawrence and Holo is just perfection. And, again, add a breathing world to it. Add a lot of fantastic dialogue, inner thoughts, all that stuff. Just, it's why it's so good. And it's been so surprising that it hasn't had a continuation or another anime adaptation in so long because of how good it is. So, hopefully we get a full adaptation.
Yeah, that's my hope too. I hope that we're just going to get a remake and get the entire story all in one box set that'll be purchasable and
Fruit Basket treatment.
Yes, it really does deserve it. This is one of those things that we've talked about for a long time. It doesn't make sense as many times as they've re-released the light novel, and they've made a big old super omnibus that has the entire thing in one volume. Why they've done this and not re-released the entire show does not make sense to me. It's one of those that, how, I mean, there's got to be something in the background that we're not seeing. Maybe the original release irked the writer in some way, shape, or form. It does not make sense how this has not gotten a super golden ultimate treatment that just makes the perfect edition that for us to consume. I just don't get it.
And that technically what happened Fruits Basket. That's why they were so able to put those restrictions on when they readapted it. So, yeah. Jack TWD 4th says, hello, gentlemen. Since Funimation is funneling all their users to Crunchyroll, I've noticed an issue regarding the English dubs. Crunchyroll doesn't translate text messages and sign writing on the blackboards and dubs. Cool. I don't think this happened on the Funimation side, but it's slightly annoying. While it's perhaps a small thing, I don't appreciate it since it since in the subs, it provides the translations so that it's not outside the realm of possibility. I don't know if it's an issue with at all with the English dubs on Crunchyroll, but it will help their case with attracting more users who prefer English dubs when available. Is this something you find in your viewing? Is it a matter of who's dubbing the show or Crunchyroll thing? I'm assuming it's just something that wasn't transferred in. We're already noting the fact that their merger is not going well, as we've noted with the whole how many different languages and options they have that's not going to translate to just a different seasonal setting that they currently do. But I would assume it's probably in the same vein that whoever's doing the move over is not realizing how much they're losing when the transfer happens. Obviously, Crunchyroll's encoder system and encoding system and their player is different than Funimation's encoding system and player. And there's going to be a lot of things that they're losing because they didn't just move over the player and the encoding. So, yeah, that's probably what happened is they went, oh, it's English dub, so we don't need the subtitle information or anything like that. Just move the dub. Just move the audio and the video. We don't care about anything else. And that's going to be a huge oversight that they have, especially since you can't read Japanese. A lot of people can't read Japanese, and sometimes you kind of need to know that context of what's on the sign. So,
Crunchyroll's Crunchyroll handles subtitles differently than Funimation as well. So understand that if I remember right, Funimation has the subtitles there, but it's using the actual most players have that automatic text to speech or whatever thing. It just uses that. So on my, at least on my Roku, it might be different in other systems, but as far as my Roku is concerned, it's actually using my Roku's closed caption system, while Crunchyroll is actually putting, it's kind of encoding the text into the actual player. So
yeah, you can try turning on maybe a closed captioning option or a subtitle option while you're on dub.
Basically, so maybe that's why it's not showing, because I've never had that problem on Crunchyroll. I've actually, in a lot of cases, I usually see the things popping up on the screen, but it's not always perfect. That's for sure. I'm wondering if it's just a matter of which translators are doing the translation as well. So take that for what it is. If they feel that it's important, they'll translate it. If they don't, they may not.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it could be just an aspect of it losing that. If that was a case where it had it before and it's not there anymore, I don't know. Yeah, Zach says, what do you think of the continuation of series or a new season of an older show, example, Legend of Galactic Heroes, which released a new story not related to the original anime or source material? Also, do the both of you have any recommendations for shows or OVAs which are similar to that aspect? Thank you. Thank you. So continuing a series or a new season of an older show, I think we talked death about, you know, Spice and Wolf and stuff like that. I'm guessing that's what you kind of mean. Legend of Galactic Heroes, technically, yeah, they had a whole, you know, adaptation of it, and they're doing a new one right now, which I really do need to get back to. But adding a new story, I don't really mind it so much as long as it's penned by the original creator. I think that kind of helps. I mean, yeah, there's a chance that somebody can pin something new for a series and it works out. Had a history of seeing that not working out. I mean, we had a whole case with I'm Standing on a Million Lies, where I think somebody technically penned a new story for it, which was based off a different option for the characters to take with their quest. But doesn't mean everybody's going to be bad at it. I mean, it's, again, I would prefer it being pinned by the original creator. If it's not, then I hope that at least they have some sort of oversight over it, just to make sure that it fits within the universe itself. But that's very interesting. I did not know that they did something original for the new adaptation. But
I don't know. Getting back to Legend of the Galactic Heroes is something I wanted to do. I think I purchased the novels on Audible. So mm-hmm. I intended on going and listening to those, but I never did get around to them. It's one of those that one is such a big series that I want to give it its proper time. And I don't want to, as popular as it is, if I do approach it, I want to approach it respectfully. And that's one of those that I will get to them someday. But yeah, as far as new season, I'm always for getting more content for people to enjoy. And a property as big as that one, yeah, it deserves all that it can get. And yes, I agree with Andrew. If somebody does a spinoff, I tend to lean towards If it's in the main line, I don't mind spinoffs per se that are done by other authors. But when I say main line, I mean anything having to do with the original creator's main characters per se. Does that make sense? So, for instance, if Spice and Wolf, if it's a story about a character that is not the main group, so some random character who just so happened to sell apples or sell the spices and the apples to Holo and Lawrence in that one town. If somebody wants to take a spinoff story on that particular character, I don't mind. If somebody wants to write a story about Holo, no, it's got to be the original author because that is his baby. And I think that, or her baby, whoever wrote it, that person, those are that person's characters. And I'm very, very rigid about that, mostly because I don't think anybody can capture the essence of that character except for the original creator. It's me. That's my quirk, but I don't have so much of a big problem as long as they're respectful to the, like Andrew was mentioning, the rules of the, and the mechanics of that world. I don't necessarily have a problem with spinoff stories.
I was trying to think of something, to your second question of something, recommendations of shows and OVAs in the similar aspect. I'm guessing you're meaning similar to Legend of Galactic Heroes. All I can really think of is like Crest of the Stars and stuff. Outside of that, you have the Gundam series, obviously. I think a recommendation there would probably be something in the vein of, I don't know, something more, because Legend of Galactic Heroes is very, very specific. It's very unique in its own regard. The only thing I really think of is something, like I said, Gundam of the series, maybe Iron-Blooded Orphans. There was a little bit of a rivalry there, and it's definitely a really fantastic Gundam. Yeah, that's a tough one. Like, Legend of Galactic Heroes, there's a lot of old space opera type of shows back in the 80s and 90s, but Galactic Heroes is one that still holds up, versus a lot of those don't really hold up anymore. So that's the struggle that I really have with that. I'm trying to think of another one that was here recently. All I know is Zero's first season, maybe, but yeah, that's tough. That's a tough question, honestly. Anything from you?
No, not without getting into Western properties, but I'm not real sure exactly the kind of story. I mean, to me, I would put Gundam, basically almost all of the Gundams, and that in the same category. But
Gundam Origin, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is just because it's more the space type shows. I mean, yeah, they go back to Earth here and there, but it's more all in space. So take that for what it is. And I don't
mind Aliens, Knights of Sidonia.
Yeah, that would be in the same line to me. I mean, but like I said, technically haven't listened to or slash read or slash watched Legend of the Galactic Heroes. So
yeah. And if you're looking for a more comedy version, technically The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. It's like a funny version of Galactic Heroes. It's technically a stupid comedy version of it. I do believe there was quite a bit in, if I remember correctly, I think there was quite a bit in Irresponsible Captain Tyler that was a spoof of Galactic Heroes, but yeah. I think that's it for now. Like I said, we have plenty of, I'm kind of considering doing a mailbag episode next week, but we'll see. We'll see. Unless I could put something else together for like a topic or something next week, I might do that instead, but we'll see. Because like I said, we technically have a lot building up in the Discord alone. I think I have about 4 more in their emails, so keep them coming. That doesn't mean stop. Keep them coming. But yeah, definitely appreciate you guys listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. Hopefully all the news was stuff that you should be interested, because it's interesting to us. It's interesting to you. Also, additionally, again, at TacoSpirit.com, you can go there for all of our links, social media, as well as our Discord link. Definitely join if you want to talk about anime. Again, support us if you want to. Additionally, we have a YouTube channel, YouTube.com/TacoSpirit, We have a Twitch, which we've been doing a lot of live streams. Pretty much here in the last week, we've been doing it daily. But the set schedule is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Chris typically tries to take the off days as well. That is twitch.tv/otakuspirited. That's an ED at the end of our usual name. But again, all that stuff is at otakuspirit.com. Also, we have a merch site, shop.otakuspirit.com. You can go there for some merch, including the Damn It Roberts mug that we talked quite a bit about this episode.
Everybody's asking when we're going to get the I generally like drinking out of this mug.
I generally like to drink. I don't know. Just make an art for it and I'll throw it on there.
All right.
If you have ideas for other merch, definitely let us know. If something is too overbearingly cutesy anime, then we'll make something subtle for you. Just let us know. The merch site, Patreon, tips link, all that stuff on otakuspirit.com. It's definitely all ways that we appreciate you guys supporting us. Keeps us going for what we're doing. But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode again, and y'all take care.
Os.